according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, each according to his ability. And he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who had received 2 made another 2. But the man who received one went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." And the one who received 2 talents also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." And the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you didn't plant and gathering where you didn't scatter. So out of fear, I went and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I don't plant and gather where I don't scatter? Should you not then have put the money in the bank so that I could have gotten it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we finish at daily Mass with the Gospel of St. Matthew. On Monday, Labor Day, we will meet Jesus in the synagogue of the synagogue of Nazareth, where we will begin the whole rest of the liturgical year studying St. Luke's Gospel. And the Church has us ponder at the end of this great gift of St. Matthew's Gospel, 4 parables prior to his Passion, which were all about the end of life. First one we didn't get on Wednesday because of the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. But it was about the faithful and prudent steward who was always awaiting the master's return. Then yesterday, as you know, we had the parable of the 10 virgins trying to imitate those 5 prudent or wise ones. Today, we have the parable of the talents. And the Church, because we focus on it several times throughout the year, doesn't have us explicitly ponder the parable of the sheep and the goats. But all 4 of them drive home the point of how we're supposed to live our life now in anticipation of the Lord's coming at any moment. How does he want to help us burn in expectation for his arrival? What does he want us to do in anticipation of that encounter? Today, Jesus develops what we would have heard on Wednesday about what it means to be a good and faithful, a prudent and faithful steward. He's given us all gifts, incredible gifts. the words that he used in the parable are big quantities. One talent was a weight of silver in the ancient world, was the equivalent of 16 2/3 years of work, 6,000 days' wages. So I like to make more easily digestible for people today. Somebody were making $100 a day, $12.50 an hour, it would be the equivalent of $600,000 per talent. Somebody who had received 5 was given $3 million. But even the one who received 1 wasn't risking losing 1 precious diamond. There was $600,000 to invest, quite a bit. And what do we see? First one went off and invested what was given. There was a huge responsibility and placed it in his hands, but the master trusted. He didn't micromanage. This one came back with that gift and doubled it. In essence, in a biblical mentality, he didn't waste any of it. He invested it all and even got a return for every penny. Likewise for the one with 2 talents, $1.2 million today's money, got a return for every penny. The third was called eventually by the master wicked and slothful, because he didn't even try. And worse than that, his excuse was to blame the master. I knew you were demanding, man, that you were so successful that I was too intimidated. You harvest where you don't plant. You gather where you don't scatter. He was risk averse. He was slothful. He did nothing. That's why the master took it away. He didn't even recognize the gift, which was far more than the stuff. But the gift was really the trust of the master. And he didn't invest it. It's for us to look at what the Lord has endowed us with. So many times when we're young, when we hear this parable of the talents, we think about the particular gifts. Sister Mary Emanuel's singing ability, for example. Far greater gifts have been given even than that great one. The gift of our time, how do we invest it? Do we live it together with the Lord? Do we make a full return on that time? Gift of the Holy Word of God. How well do we invest it? Do we get to know it? Do we live it? Do we ponder it? The gift of the sacraments. Gift of our baptism. Gift of the Holy Spirit in confirmation. The gift of the availability of God's incredible mercy. Talk about the gift of the Eucharist at the end, the gift of our consecration, the gift of our ordination and profession, the commitment that the Lord makes to us. Do we seek to make a return from it? Are we too afraid to let it rip, to take real risks together with the Lord who's constantly telling us to put out into the deep and not to be afraid? But like to focus particularly on 2 gifts because they relate to the first reading of how St. Paul was, as an investment strategist, trying to help the Thessalonians invest the gifts that God had given them. One thing he talks about is about their work. We urge you to progress even more, working with your own hands. The Lord gives us the talent of work. He has made us in His image and likeness, precisely to work. We'll have a chance to talk about this more on Monday, what that means. But one of your gifts at Visitation, one of my gifts at the Holy See Mission, is we have so much work to sanctify. For those afraid of risk, those who think that the great talent is vacation or time off, don't like to work up a sweat, they'll see this amount of work that we have as a curse rather than as a caress. When we have work, the Lord wants to help us to do it. It's an incredible opportunity for investment. That work is a great gift to develop ourselves, to develop the world, to develop others, and to help God come to full stature in every one of those three circumstances. The gift of our work, God really wants us to invest in. And he hasn't given us one talent there. He hasn't given us even two, compared to other systems of life and compared to other priests. He's given us 50, not just 5. So we should be grateful for the trust he's given in entrusting to us so much. Second thing is about charity, the opportunity to love. He says here, on the subject of fraternal charity, you have no need for anybody to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so for all the brothers throughout Macedonia. St. Paul found the collection basket in Thessalonica very easy. They were very generous. They cared for others throughout Macedonia, northern Greece at the time, but also for the collections for the Christians in the Holy Land. But then he challenged them. Nevertheless, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to progress even more. Yes, you've been making 4 talents out of the 5 that you have been given. Keep going for it. Progress even more in terms of your fraternal charity. How do we do? You know, the introduction to today's reading, which is always a hermeneutical key to the gospel, was what? Do you remember, Sister Jean? You said it. Investing the word of God. Okay, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Talent's all about investing God's love that we have received, that incredible wealth, in passing it on, developing it, living, remaining in that love of God, and learning from the Lord on the inside, the greatest of all talents, how to love others more. We're sent so many people to love. Every person we meet every day, someone the only worthy response to whom is love. Do we take advantage of that? Do we take advantage of the opportunity that you have of every other sister in the convent to be able to love them too, and to really risk it, to go out into the deep, not to fear rejection. Just like a good investor doesn't fear loss here and there, because not every investment is going to hit the jackpot. But over the course of time, are you really loving? Because the more you do, the more will receive it, the more your life will be enriched. I don't know if anybody got up early because of your summer schedule and you've already prayed the office of readings. But we've got the most powerful of all throughout the entire year today in the second lesson of the office from St. John Chrysostom, who talks about the connection between our love of God, especially in the Holy Eucharist, and our love for others. And that we can't just adorn the altar, adorn the sanctuary with the finest gifts, while neglecting Christ in the disguise of others. Which is why the fourth parable of judgment, this one leads immediately to recognizing the gift we have in everyone who comes to us. Because everyone is Christ, whether he's naked, whether he's thirsty, whether he's hungry, a stranger, ill or imprisoned, or in any other need. St. John Chrysostom has us focus on that, to make sure that we see every beggar at the gate or on the street corner. It's a great talent that the Lord has given us, so that we might invest His love in loving that person. Jesus is the greatest talent of all. And each morning, He comes to teach us, and then He comes to feed us. And He wants this Eucharist to become the most consequential gift we receive. I say a lot when I preach missions because I think it's absolutely true. The vast majority of Catholics expect more from taking 2 ibuprofen than they do from receiving God inside in Holy Communion. What are our expectations, especially those of us who have the incredible gift to be able to receive Him every day? God comes to dwell within us as a temple, to help us in our own logikē latreia, to give of our bodies as the only sacrifice worthy of Him, our spiritual worship, as we love others as He has loved us first. Today, the Lord gives us far more than $3 million. He gives us all the wealth in the universe as He gives Himself. Let's pay it forward.